to overcome the prejudices of their age, to overcome the limitations of knowledge, and to somehow persevere in order to present Judaism in its full public viewing, to present a positive image, a positive press, which somehow would thereby transform the contemporary image of Jews as well. The original Verein, the original organization, this group of intellectuals getting together in somebody's house, were seven founding members. I won't mention all of their names, but I at least should mention three because of their importance. One of them, I'm sure his name will mean more to you than anybody else. The first was Edward Ganz, who I want to mention, a great legal historian who makes an important contribution to German intellectual life. Heinrich Heine, and that is the name that I think should resonate the most, the renowned writer who eventually converts to Christianity, although Jewish associations continue to dominate his thinking and his own writing. And the third individual, who to me is personally the most important, but probably the least known of the three, Leopold Zuntz, a great literary historian and a bibliographer and a person of significant renown. I mentioned I had been in Berlin only a week ago, and I must tell you what a thrill it was to stand at Leopold Zuntz's grave. Zuntz was a philologist trained at the University of Berlin, who had already really launched the program, and we should refer to the full title of this program, of the Verein, as Wissenschaft des Judentum, or literally, the science of Judaism. In a essay that he wrote in 1818, a year before the founding of the Verein, in an essay called On Rabbinic Literature, he attempted to offer the first secular definition of what Jewish studies was all about. In its attempt to come to grips with the historical past, to explain it by using the latest philological and historical methods, and by doing so, to integrate that specific knowledge into the tapestry of scholarship and knowledge about all of Western civilization, or a world civilization, so to speak. In other words, it was important that Jews not be left off the map of culture that was now being described and elevated as the center of learning in Germany in the first decades of the 19th century. Through scholarship, through the study of Jewish literature, and particularly the post-biblical literature, the literature of scholarship beyond the Bible, Protestant scholars had been studying the Bible sufficiently. The issue, what happens in the post-biblical age, that period which Christians had totally ignored. Let us somehow redeem that scholarship. Let us somehow redeem that data into our database and thereby restore its significance and relevance and importance within the context of modern learning and modern scholarship. Demonstrating the entire range of Jewish creativity would make the Jews look better in the image of Christian civilization. It would restore their legacy, their forgotten past would now become part of the mosaic of cultures which were now being studied assiduously by German learning. I should mention before we move on from Zuntz, another work which clearly has left its mark on Jewish scholarship even until this day. It is a work about Jewish homiletics, about the Jewish sermon. Indeed, in order to demonstrate that the Jew have an ascetic sense of worshiping, of learning, of grappling, of developing, of grappling with their past and developing over time, Zuntz decided to write a kind of history of homiletical literature of the Jews, in which to demonstrate that Jews were always making their scholarship their learning current. A sermon is an attempt to grapple with the past in the context of the present and to make Judaism and religiosity in general up to date and relevant for all times. And therefore, like the Protestant sermon of the 19th century, German Jews didn't invent this genre only in the 19th century, but it goes back to the earliest rabbinic period when Jews had their own synagogues and their own rabbis who gave sermons and educated the public as Protestant preachers and Jewish preachers of the 19th century were supposed to do now. Here was a wonderful example of how the past could link with the present and illuminate the present to argue that essentially what we are doing now in our present day, which seems so up to date and so relevant, was already done by generations of Jewish scholars and rabbis over the course of several centuries.